Let's continue where we stopped last time. For the last two sessions of this, our School of Prayer, we have been talking about how faith works in prayer. And what I'm trying to do actually is to make it a very simple, but that's how it's supposed to be, all right? Not a difficult thing, to help us to relate with it and realize that faith is simple. It is simple. It's just something that is an attitude. Let me summarize it like that. It's an attitude. When I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, you know, I've said this again and again. Why I did was that I was asking myself, if a stranger were to show up at my door and demand for my last meal, why would I give it to him? Are you getting my point? Like the widow of Zarephath did when Elijah showed up at her door, you know? Just showed up there and said that God said to him that she should come and collect her food. Well, it didn't say God said that. It just said that God said that the food will not finish, so he should give she should give him something to eat. And then she just went ahead and did that. You know, it's quite remarkable. All right, that's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And it's, you know, it bothered me. I said, why did she believe him? What if he was lying? And if you are living in the country we are living in today, not the country, in the world that we are living in today, all you need to do is tune on to what we call Christian television, right? International networks, especially ones that come from North America. And you see what people call prophecies and how people do the ministry of the Word of God. And if you believe everything you are told, it's likely that, anyway, maybe you are not informed enough. Are you getting my point? Now, so imagine that kind of situation. You live in that kind of environment. And somebody now shows up and gives you a word, supposedly from God, and it's going to, because of that, take half of what you have already. Are you getting my point? You had 200 naira you were managing. They said that God says the money will not finish, so you should bring 100. Why didn't you just say it and go away? You understand my point? And come back next year. And when the money hasn't finished, you will now give him a portion. All right? So it's quite remarkable. So I wonder to myself, why did she do it? And that was when the Holy Spirit gave me understanding, which I put together in that book, which I titled Great Faith Can Be Yours. What I had to explain there is that faith is a habit, and when you need a very high level of faith to do something that is out of the ordinary, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. That's what the Bible calls the gift of faith. That is, the time comes in which you have to stand up and face challenges that are much more difficult than you will ever have imagined you could handle by yourself. Yet, you do it. And it's not because you have the faith in yourself. It's because God gave you what the Bible calls the gift of faith. At that particular point in time, I've reasoned about it. You know, why I'm saying this is, the reason why I'm saying all of this is for us not to look at David. He faced Goliath, and you knew if it was you. No, now back you go back Goliath to. Now when Goliath comes in one way, you will go seven ways. And it's not your fault, you know what I'm saying? Because you have had time to settle down and consider it. I mean, you think about Abraham. Abraham waited for an only child, or for the promised child, though he had another one, that's Ishmael. He waited for the promised child for 75 to 20, to 100. And then one day the Lord showed up and said, okay, and not for 25 years, now that's after that 25 years, another, let's say, 15, 17 years passed, and the Lord now showed up one day and said, okay, come and sacrifice the child. And you will wonder, will I love God so much so as to make that kind of decision, take that kind of action in obedience to his word? What am I saying to you again today? Don't worry about it. What did I say? What did I say? It's very important you don't worry about it. Why is it important? Or how will you not worry about it? Just remember that these people were people of like passion. All right? Don't think that David didn't used to do anything that was bad. If you read the story of David well, you know many of us may have been better, we have had better character than that young man. You get to my point? I'm not saying that he was a bad person, but I just want you to bear in mind that you should not be worried. When you see such challenges come upon people, all right, and they overcame them, don't worry, you can do it too. What did I say? What did I say? Now, not by your own strength. They didn't do it by their own strength. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. They didn't do it by their own strength. And therefore, you would not also do it, all right, by your own strength. You say, if they put me in front of the fiery furnace, will I bow to the idols? Listen to me. You will not bow. Amen. What did I say? I said, okay, you don't know me. Now, you see why I'm saying that, all right? If we don't, if you keep on looking at those people as if, man, they were very high spiritual giants. Therefore, what they did, I will not be able to do it. That's going to be, you are going to put a limit on God's power working in your life. Actually, why God told their stories? Hey, anyway, I've learned to just say at the Holy Spirit talking, all right? So let me not try and fix what I want to say. If we can get to where what I want to say, we'll get there. If we can't, we'll continue next time. No, be so. So, why the Holy Spirit told their stories in the Bible is to let you know they were just like you. Are you getting my point? Why did the Holy Spirit tell their stories? To let you know that they were just like you. They forgot to pray. They didn't pay somebody they were owing. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying it was a habit with them to be doing bad things. I'm trying to say that they also did things that were not perfect. But there are some important qualities about them, which you as a child of God should also have. They love the Lord. They love righteousness. But they were also tabernacled in this thing called flesh. And that's why David said, he's mindful that we are but flesh. Are you getting my point? It's very important. Very, very important. So when God told their stories, it was not to show you, look at what great spiritual giants have done. You are still there. Which is what a lot of us who don't realize it as preachers, that's what we do. You set a high pedestal and tell Christians, look at you. People like you, they died for the faith. And you are here going to work for the faith. Some of you are going to school for the faith. Your mates those days, they were out there dying for the faith. Listen, let me tell you the truth. When it is your turn to die for the faith, you will die gladly. Did I hear an amen? When it's your turn to do great things for the faith, you also will do it. It's just that it's not yet your turn. Your turn right now is to go to school for the faith. Amen? Amen. It is to wear tie for the faith. All right, my friend? It's very important to understand it. The Bible didn't tell the stories of those people so that we'll feel small, you know? We'll feel too little. We'll feel like we are failures. The Bible did not tell those stories for that reason. He told those stories for the other reason, to let you know that Elijah, he prayed and it did not rain. He prayed and it began to rain. And the first thing said about Elijah, let's read that one. He said the man was of like, in fact, let's read James chapter 5. I'm going to read it from different translations just to emphasize the point. If you read from verse 16, it said, from the second part, it said, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Of what kind of man? I can't hear you. His prayer can accomplish much. He said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And the Bible says Elijah was a man with a nature like yours. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Very important we understand that. All right? Verse 17 of the first one I read is New American Standard. I want to read New Living Translation. It says Elijah was as human as we are. No, it's very important you understand it. Elijah was as human as we are. I'm just trying to read different translations of it so that we'll get the point, all right? If you read in Young's Literal Translation, it says that Elijah was a man like affected as we. That is his emotional reaction. That's the word affectation, all right? His emotional reaction, the way he used to respond to things, just like your own too. And the Bible calls him a righteous man. And he prayed, and God answered. He prayed, and God answered. There's something I'm trying to say in all of these things. When the Bible wrote that story, those stories in Hebrews chapter 11, it wasn't writing the stories of perfect people who knew how to do everything perfectly, and therefore God had no choice but to move when they sneezed. No, they were normal people who loved the Lord. Are you getting my point? Which is what I began speaking about last time. You know, for 2 sessions now, we've spoken about how faith works. The first time I said You shouldn't make fear a habit. Last time when I began to speak specifically on the subject, and I said that, look, we read from Psalm 73, verse 25. But the psalmist said, who do I have in heaven but you? And I said, because of that, the natural, that is the outward expression of that, is that on this earth, I don't desire anybody else. What it means is that I'm not trying to know a king. I'm not trying to know people who are in power. Because in heaven, I have God. I have him totally. All right? So we began to explain that. So that's how faith works. So faith is not something that is only for spiritual giants. That's what I'm talking about today again. It's something that's supposed to be normal to us. Elijah also used to wake up late and not do his work effectively. That's what I'm trying to explain. In fact, Elijah, if I tell the truth, you don't want to follow Elijah too much. I'm not joking about that. Even God got tired of Elijah at a point in time. A man who could stop the rain. Even God said, oh, enough, enough. Elijah was just tired. And now, we're not analyzing whether he was right to have been tired. But he was tired. And even because he was tired, God got tired. Say, okay, enough complaining. Oh, yeah, come. That's how he went. He said, okay, look, go and anoint this Elisha. He will go in your stead. Anoint this person, Jehu, who will do this one. Anoint this one. After that, you just, look, just come, let me take you away. The taking away was partly because Elijah was, no, if they have killed everybody, I'm the only one remaining. God said, oh, he has come again. There are 7,000 more people now. After a while, the man complained so much. He said that Jezebel is about to kill him. You know what he did? If you know, say amen. Are you sure you know? So what did he do? He disappeared. You two, you have been afraid of your landlord, so he sees not only you. When it was time to pay children's fees, you began, you know, he said school is opening next week. So people have been like, you know, prayer has increased this week now. You know why? Schools are opening next week. And you go to church, or you go to your village meeting, or you go to your family meeting. And we are thinking about this project. Why are we always doing projects? What is it? It's because school is opening next week. Is all this fight? It's because school is opening next week. And you have just like 1 week after they open to finish paying the fees. So anybody brings any other idea, your wife will say that, I think Junior's uniform is fading. What is fading? This is the color he has always been. Elijah too heard voices like that. He too disappeared. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point I'm trying to make? Elijah was a man of like passion. So if he got great results in prayer, you can also get great results in prayer. Do you understand my point? In fact, I believe this is my persuasion. Maybe Elijah was tired for many things. He was very busy. I mean, really, he was doing a lot of work, so that wore him out, maybe. Otherwise, if he had focused, he would have prayed, and Jezebel would have vanished. The prayer he used to hold rain, is it Jezebel that prayer can't hold? I'm not explaining something in all of these things. The stories were not told to let you see spiritual giants who did things you can never imagine. Let me say it to you. If you carry me now to Babylon also and say bow, I am sure I won't bow. Pastor Banky, a strong man. No. I have found that those boys too were not strong. That's the reason why I'm telling you this. It is not because I have found out that I'm strong. I have found out they too, they were not strong. They were boys of like passion like me. Why did they not bow? Shall I tell you? Because God said, nobody is bowing here today. If you don't know, go and read the book. Great faith can be yours. You understand what I'm saying? He's basically, they were strong. They liked their faith. Look, listen. All this your strength and love for your faith. They never blew fire for your face. Let me hold the electricity. They shock you small. Bow. Oh, God. Is this bow really necessary? Why are you shocking me like this? Let me tell you the truth. A normal human being will negotiate. So when you see four young men who refuse to bow, listen to me. A spirit entered into them and set them on their feet. Life is spiritual. So that's what I'm saying. The Bible didn't tell those stories so that you now feel inadequate. Don't come and preach. Look at it. At your age,
Men of old. So the Holy Spirit, why did he that he was able to do things in men of old? And men of now, he forgot. I mean, don't come and preach any nonsense message to me to make me feel inadequate. You should let me know this is correct preaching. That it was not by their power. It was not by their might. It was by the Spirit of God. Your message should be teaching me how to connect with that Spirit, not to make me feel inadequate. They are there driving a car. You can't even preach to your neighbor. Some people were preaching in the jungle those days. You think they had more faith than me? Listen, the kind of passion that was driving them, all right, is driving me right now in another direction. If God were to turn things around and say, this time around, your life is jungle life. Listen, I will be enjoying swinging on the vines too. It's a spirit. That's what I'm going to explain. It was not their strength. It's a spirit. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That was what I tried to describe in there. God didn't tell the stories of those people that he will be looking at them and say, man, they try. Man, where did a man go if he do this kind of thing? Man didn't do that kind of thing. Man never did that kind of thing. It was the Holy Spirit in them. You know, listen, I know what I'm telling you. It's not a joke. Some people are going to say, Pastor Banky, are you sure you're okay? But I will say it. The only reason David fought Goliath was that he didn't have sense. Go and digest that one. He said, Pastor Banky, he didn't have faith. You know the truth? He didn't have sense. No normal boy chases a lion to collect lamb. If there is life, there is hope. I pray you'll be able to decode what I'm saying. One day I read the story of one woman. I told you the story of Mary Kay Ash, how her husband stopped smoking. When the Bible talks about walking the Spirit, I have to get back to that message and re-preach it. I've not preached that thing properly. I heard the story of one old woman that her vehicle fell. I think they were jacking up a car. And you know, you've seen it before, the jack just slipped. And the car fell on her grandchild. This elderly woman jacked up a hole, you know, like a tundra. Picked it up until they put the boy. That is, at the end of the day, people couldn't believe it happened. An old woman. She picked a car, raised it up. Why? She didn't have time to think. Her grandchild was under the car. She didn't have time to think. She didn't remember the vehicle was supposed to be heavy. She did not remember anything. All she just knew that my grandchild is under this thing and it fell on him. She went there, raised the thing off the floor. You see what I'm talking about? When David pursued that lion, he wasn't thinking, that's my favorite lamb. The boy don't begin pursuing the lion. The lion said, but which kind of lion? Lion, I never seen that kind of thing before. I know he didn't go there to fight. Go and read your stories, why? He didn't go there to fight. He went there to collect his lamb. When the lion looked for trouble, the boy had to defend himself. You're saying, Pastor Bangi, so what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that he didn't have the strength to kill a lion. But when events were put in motion, the Holy Spirit entered into him and set him on his feet. If David was 50 years old, 40 years at that time, with the same power of God, he would say, that shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You take one sheep today, God will multiply it sevenfold. It's in the scriptures. The man will start reasoning it the other way. You will tell his sons, are you risking your life over a sheep? Are you no more valuable to me than the whole flock? You start preaching a different gospel. No, really. May God give you understanding what I have said. Listen, go and read them, RJ Letourneau. He said, if I had had the sense of accounting, I would never have done well in business. This is the same accounting that every Christian must know. He said, because he looked back. And the things that, no, not done well in business, succeeded, let me put it like that, in that his enterprise. That the reason was that he looked back and every decision he made financially were stupid. They were crazy. Those things were not financially sustainable. They were not. Yet, God broke through somewhere along the way and made him exceedingly
financially successful. Why am I saying all of these things? Don't even imagine that David was a great man of faith. Don't. David was a young boy who loved the Lord, and he lived all his life loving the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you would just simply love the Lord too, you'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will put inside your head to do. You'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will enter into you and make you effect. It's only when you look back and say, what? Did I do that? I hope you feel what I'm saying. One major reason David faced Goliath was that he didn't know life beyond that level. If I tell you this, it may surprise you. He may have been just a daring child. Oh God, I pray you get what I'm saying. I have a son like that. Lugwenga. As a little boy, he didn't understand how to fear things. If you put him like, he would jump down. Put him on the height, this high. He did it to me once. Thought I was playing. We went for a program in church. And so my wife wanted to participate. So I agreed to babysit, you know, like just handle the boy. So it was a big event. So there were a lot of activities. So I just stood outside. Oh, it was very little that time. I mean, little, maybe like 2 years or so or less. So it was running up and down. So I had to be pursuing. So at the point in time, I playfully picked him up and put him on a high fence, hoping that he would stand still. People thought I was playing. He just jumped. I'm not kidding. I had to rush and dive and catch. And you can be sure Isaiah laughing. He thought it was only a joke. I'm like, this boy, do you realize what he just did? What if I wasn't looking? And really, I almost turned. Do you know, the boy dived into the air. He thought it was part of the play. Listen to me. I'm sorry. I pray you understand this. David may have had a bit of that in him. And God, the Holy Spirit, rode on that, went in there, killed Goliath. Are you getting my point? The Holy Spirit rode on all of those things. I'm going to emphasize something to you here. Great faith can be yours. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say it again. Great faith can be yours. Amen?
Amen.
You read the scriptures, don't think that Elijah was a man that, when he wants to pray like this, thunder could do kum, 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 kum. The man, when they told him, a housewife was looking for him. Oh boy, disappeared. I wanted to get that point. Yet, this was a man who prayed, and the whole nation was brought to his knees. He prayed, rain began to fall. Ahab saw him. Ahab said, is this the man who has been troubling Israel? In case you think he was so powerful in himself, he heard a threat. This is a man who just ended hundreds the lives of hundreds of Baal's prophets. Yeah, they said that tomorrow you are dead meat. Say, hey, this is Jezebel. Yeah, the bubble began to run. Even after a while, God got tired. I said, okay, hand over. He was tired. What's the point I'm trying to make? Let me say it again. Their stories were not told to make you feel little. No. Their stories were told to let you know that if they can do it, if they could do that, God can do even greater things through me. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. If they could do that, God can do greater things through you.
Amen.
And that's what the whole thing is about. I said this by explaining the fact that faith is supposed to be a normal part of our lives. It's not a great thing that you have to conjure up when you need it. No. It's not something that, who has great faith? There's a problem. Call Pastor Bank. He knows how to pray that kind of prayer. No. My prayer is just as effective as yours. That's not a joke. Don't think I'm being humble. I like Pastor Mike. He's very humble. Doesn't even think himself a great man of God. It is not humility. It is trutility. What did I call it? Trutility. It is not humility at all. It's just basic truth. It's basic truth. I don't know why people look for big men to pray. I wasn't brought up like that in the faith. I look for my friends to pray. If issues are down, the person I want to call is the person who I know is in agreement with me. I don't know, you understand what I'm saying? That is the person who is in agreement with me, who is feeling what I'm feeling.
The strongest person to pray with me, my problems, is my wife. My problems, you understand? They are directly connected to her. So she's my most potent prayer warrior. Not because of extra righteousness, but because of passion. Because of that tie. Nobody can pray for your child more than you. But if you come and say, Pastor Banky, pray about this child, I will pray about the child. And I might forget after a few days. But you know you can't forget. If Baba does not sleep, you don't sleep now. So when you do like this before God, everybody in heaven hears. You see, it's just for Christians to understand this. We don't understand it yet. That's what our problem is. Some people will pay ₦1,000,000 to be able to get the phone number of Pastor Iyadibo so he can pray. Listen to me. His prayer is not more effective than that guy sitting beside you. That's not supposed to be humility. I'm like, maybe I'm one of the pastors. No. It's the truth. The truth, utility. It's foundational truth. If you will just understand it, listen, I'm telling you this, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Pastor E.S. Adeboye's prayer is not more effective than my own. Another is mine more effective than yours? Look at them looking surprised. You know, some Christians have never heard this one before. So they will travel from here to Lagos because they want to go and hear Papa pray. It's funny. If you want to travel, go and hear him teach. If there's an anointing, you know, it happens, all right? There's a special anointing in an area, go there, no problem. But if you're talking about answer to prayers, listen to me, it's a waste of time, except for the fact that your faith is there. That is what makes it effective. I don't know whether I get my point. And that's because God is just showing you mercy. No, say you still be picking. And those, you are still young, so he said, all right, fine, no problem. Listen to me. It is ungodly for a Christian to be traveling up and down looking for prayers from a big man of God. Now, what's going on? Am I the only one here? I hope you are following me. Maybe I'm surprising you. I'm not. I'm sure a lot of people are surprised. Say, Pastor Banky, no, you can't be serious about this. But trust me, I'm very serious about it. Elijah was a man of what? Like passion. A nature like your own. In fact, Kenneth said something when I read one of his books. He said the first time he heard the man called the righteous man, he was alarmed. How can you call this guy a righteous man? His own is that because his own upbringing, a man of faith, can't run. After all, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you understand? They did not run. You understand? Why was Elijah running? That is unrighteousness, okay? He said, until he read the scriptures that said that blessed is the man who God has not numbered his iniquities. He said, okay, God must have forgiven all his sins. That's why they called him a righteous man. And that's not a lie. All your sins are also forgiven in Christ Jesus. Is that here an amen?
Amen?
You know, I told you before, let nobody scare you. You are not going to hell. Somebody says, they went to hell. They saw a pastor there. Yes? Any pastor can go to hell if he wants to go to hell. All he needs to do is deny Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So if you have not denied Jesus Christ, doesn't mean you and him are mates. You understand? He went to hell. It's his problem. You are not going anywhere. Who's going to hell here? Nobody. Thank you very much. If you are going to heaven, say amen.
Amen.
If you can go to heaven, see your prayer that will not be answered. You are getting the logic. It's simple. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Like I said, faith is an attitude. It's just for you to understand these things that we are saying. That's what it is. Just for you to understand these things that we are saying. That's what faith is. To just know that if it is serious to me, and I'm going to talk about that, all right, today. I'm going to talk about that today. If it is serious to me, it's important to me, God will answer it. If it is serious to me, if I believe it is important, that this, if I'm really serious about it, God will answer it. He's not going to answer it because I'm anointed. No. He's not going to answer it because I've been a very, very good Christian all my life. Around nonsense. No, that's not why he answers the prayers. Let me say this to us again. There are two ways you handle life. You tackle the matter of spiritual work, all right, in this life. There is a side of sonship, that is being a child of God, and there is a side of servanthood. Is that the correct English there?
No, this English has a way of confusing an adult sometimes. She's correct. There's a side of sonship, and there's that side of servanthood. Don't cross the two of them. What I mean is this. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. This is side of sonship. Let me start from the side of servanthood. This is side of servanthood. Anything you do for God is done, is final. You don't demand any reward. You hear what I said? The Lord Jesus said it directly. This is how correct servants, correct slaves, that's how they behave. Anything they do, they say, we have only done that which was expected of us, period. You gave an offering, and my first salary was 100,000 naira. I just took the whole thing, I gave it. It was my first fruit. I know from now, God will supply my need. Tell your neighbor is a lie. So I have always paid my tithe very regularly. It's always complete. Some people don't pay the whole tithe. I pay the whole tithe. If you don't tithe, your life will be tight. Tell your neighbor is a lie. I hope you are following what I'm saying. It is what? A lie. It is called godliness without contentment. You are doing works and you are demanding back from me. The Bible says, who has given to God that you should demand back from him? That's what they call the servant side. The servant side is anything I do it, I have done it, it is okay, it is done, final, what do I get from it? I'm not supposed to get anything from it, I don't care. If he wants to give anything back, that's his personal issue. It's for them to decide in the courts of heaven. So all this offering I have given, it is going to begin to yield fruit to me. You know, my future is secure because I have sowed seed. Tell your neighbor again, it's a lie. Say, you are broke, you don't know it. Telling you the truth. If you are thinking like that, you are broke, your future is empty. You know, and God is kind. He will make you hungry properly. You will according to one guy, I invoke the power of the tithe. I invoke the power of the offering. God said, good, I'm not going to give you anything. Go and call police. You know what God is waiting for? After a while, he said, God, I beg now. Man, they're hungry. He said, you should have started from here. All this demanding your right. What kind of nonsense is that? Be careful yourself. Oh. I hope you have known what I'm saying. Now, that's the servant side. What is the sonship side? Now, listen to this. It's very interesting. Oh, God, serving God is good. Because God is very kind. He's very good. What is the sonship side? I come to him by the power of the blood of Jesus. I make demands also. But not because of what I did. Are you getting my point? No. But because of what Jesus did. I'm a son. I'm a child of God. I'm a part of the family. So if they serve food, it is not, look, my children don't come and say that, you know, I've been cleaning your shoes. Where's my part of the bread? Do they say that? They just enter the house. Just come. Where's my own bread? That's it. Final. No negotiation. I'm supposed to have bread. Say, so how can there not be bread? I saw a loaf of bread that mommy brought in last night. Where is it? Do you understand? It's a strong voice. There's no begging, no placating in it. The bread is mine. I demand my portion of the bread. Where is my own ice cream? That's the way, you know the way children even do it. Maybe somebody comes out of the room and is holding a bar of chocolate, chewing away. So, hey, where did that come from? Mommy gave it to me. My wife knows. Once you give somebody something, just wait for the knock. Because my children have a rule, they must knock before they enter the room. Next thing is, go. I say, see, I told you. Victory said you're the one that gave her biscuit. We gave him biscuit. You know, like, operate. Where's my side of it? Nobody walks in there and says, praise the Lord. Mommy, you know, yesterday, I was the one that swept the room. I cleaned the shoes. I arranged the wardrobe. Therefore, where's my biscuit? Is that so? No, they don't do that. It's like, I saw Victory eating biscuit. I heard it came out of here. I have come to collect my portion. We will negotiate based on that. There's nothing like, what have you done for me lately? That's what I call the sonship side of God. And of our walk with God. When we want to demand, we walk in directly based upon his promises. I am hungry. Give me food. You are the all-sufficient God. That's it. I'm the all-needing child. You are the heavenly father. I'm the earthly child. So let's arrange this thing. You supply, I eat. That's just the way it is. I mean, why should I have a God like you and I still be hungry? What kind of thing is that? That's it. It's final. There's no arrangement like, what have you given to me that I should be giving back to you? Say, God, stop that kind of joke. All the things Jesus gave you, you don't use them and finish. No, that's our arrangement with God. That's it, purely. I want to make our request, we make our request direct. It's simple. I'm a child of God. You love me. Don't you love me? If you don't love me, why did your son come to die for me? You gave me freely. Okay, God, this one I said I must sow seed before you give me something back. I'm sure they are lying in your name. Let's say, why? Because what did I give you before you gave Jesus Christ? What did I give you before you saved me? What did I give you before you did all those things for me? And Paul himself said it. He said that he that freely gave us his only begotten son, how much more will he freely give us all good things? Say, God, please, I beg, I need money. That's the way it is. Servanthood is a different matter. When servants work, they don't demand. But the correct word, by just being nice, that's what servant. The correct word that the Bible uses is slave. The correct word Jesus uses is slave. The correct word that Paul uses is what? Slave. They don't make demands. They just do their work. But the sonship side, let's not settle with it again. That's the main thing about our teaching for today. The sonship side is that, listen, I'm a child of God. That's it. Have you not sowed the seed for this? It doesn't matter. Let me say it to you again. I know I'm not popular in this, but I'll say it. Remember that, look, supply does not answer to prayer. It answers to seed. Tell the person, Pastor Frank says, Elisha. And I believe him because the Bible said it. That Jesus himself said, if you need anything, just pray about it. And that's it. It's final. So are you saying you're not going to give? He said, no, I'm also a servant of God. The giving side is a servant side. My supply side is a child side. You know, it's sonship side. Let's separate them. Let's not get confused. Please, I hope you have learned what I'm saying. It's important we understand this. You know, I want you to know that I'm trying to explain a principle, all right? That faith is just an attitude. That's what it is. Those people that did great things, God didn't tell the story so that we'll feel, inferior. Thank you. That's the word. We'll feel inferior and we'll not start laboring hard to see what we can do to get there. God said, don't worry about that. I am the one that's working in you both to will and to do. All God is demanding of you and me is just love God and leave it there. So what if I'm afraid like Elijah? God said, good. At that point in time, Hebrews chapter 4, we read it, we run to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How do we do that? We just really kneel down and say, God, I just heard that Jezebel is looking for me. And you know, it's not good to run. After we killed all these prophets of Baal, how could they run? But right now, my heart is doing jiggy, jiggy, jiggy. Once I hear the word J, my heart go do Z. So what do we do, Lord? Give me strength. Once you listen to me, if you do that, you will discover strength that will kill double the size of Goliath, and you'll have the size of David. God is not saying anybody should be strong. Say, Goliath, we have killed your type before. He said, guys, hold me for back. Hold me and I run. No, nothing like that. If you see Goliath and you're afraid, what God says, just tell Goliath, wait. I have plans for you. Then go behind and say, Lord, I'm not going to lie to you. Just between me and you. I'm afraid of that fellow. Then you pray there. Then you come out again. Goliath scares you again. Say, Goliath, wait. I'm not through with you yet. Before the man says, Lord, let's settle this matter. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not supposed to be afraid of Goliath. Lord, help me. Let me not be afraid of Goliath. You come again. By the time you come like 2-3 times like that, so you just look at that Goliath. You won't fight. That is, fear will disappear. Suddenly you'll be feeling invincible. How do I know? Go and read the story of Jesus Christ when he went into the garden. That was what he was doing there. He thought he was trying to take a detour. No. When he saw the cross, he was fearful. It was fearful. If you understand what the cross means, you will understand. I'll talk about it on Saturday. He had seen the spiritual aspect of it, how it was going to play out. In fact, this is a summary of it. Go and look for the Passion of the Christ. Just go and watch the Passion of the Christ again.
Imagine that you finish watching that film. The nurse says, it's your turn. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you all know the film. There's no Mel Gibson. There's one Roman centurion, a real one. And I tell you, you have 1 hour to get ready. You know how it is. You go begin negotiating. What is that? Did I do? How much is the money? You start negotiating. That was precisely what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Precisely. When he saw it, he too, he had pleasure. You don't know he had? He did. He himself partook in flesh and blood. That's what the Bible said. And one of the things that's inside the flesh is this desire for preservation. That's why if someone wants to slap your face, you reflexly, go wild like that. Reflexly, you move back. You raise a hand. So he too had it. That's the point I'm going to make. So what did he do? And now, in that situation, not like you, like, let's negotiate. He knew that there was no negotiating. Because it was so clear, so clear, so clear. He said himself, go and read that John chapter 12. He said, Father, he said, will I say, Father, save me from this hour? He said, for this cause I came to this hour. That is, he recognized that he could not even ask God to save him from it. So you can imagine, it was distressing. And he was not allowed to face it with fear. He was not allowed to be weak in front of the Roman soldiers. He had to speak eyeball to eyeball with Pontius Pilate. Or is it Pompous Pilate? No, he had to look the fellow eyeball to eyeball. That one said, do you know I have power to kill you and release you? And he said, who? How? You have power to do what? Well, relax. Why is it a vex, according to my wife? There's no need. You don't have, it's the power is just because God has granted it to you. So relax. Don't upset yourself over this matter. He had to come to that point of talking coolly like that. He had to get to a point. He'll be on the cross. Somebody on the side will be lamenting, and he will calm the person down. His mother will come, and that one came and said, "You're talking." Said, "Look, don't worry. I said to you, you will be with me this day in paradise." He had to be calm enough to do that in the midst of all his pain. His mother came and was crying. Said, "Oh, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." All those things had to happen. So that was why he went into the garden. And listen to me, this is exactly what happened. He prayed and prayed. A summary of it was given to us. Then he came out. When he got to the gate, he saw Goliath again. He said, I'm coming. Goliath, wait. He went back inside. He prayed and prayed. He came out again. Those boys were not supporting. They had fallen asleep because they didn't understand what was going on. He saw the picture again. The thing was overwhelming. He went back and prayed again until the Bible says angels came and strengthened him. By the time he came, I told the boys, let us go. He was not the one defending everybody. Fight, don't fight, don't fight. You know, if we wanted to, even if it was a case of deliverance, we would not have asked the Father for 12 legions of angels. And you now injured poor Malchus. Malchus, I know you're on the enemy side, but let's just show you that this is a voluntary matter. He bent down, took the ear, joined the back again. Just to let them know it's a voluntary matter. For them to know it's a voluntary matter, they say, who do you seek? Jesus Christ. Yeah, they say, I'm he. And they fell backward. And after they had fallen a number of times, he said, nah, I hope you have all gotten the point. That I laid down my life of myself. You are getting the point. But before he got to that point, when he saw the picture, you know what he did? He went to pray. What am I saying all of these things? The matter of doing great works of faith is not a matter of, I'll be strong. No. No, it's not like that. The stories of the scriptures were told for you to know that you can do it too. Not to let you know that those guys were great. No. One of the issues of faith, that God opens opportunities for you. Like I say all the time in life, you see, God always gives you, and that's what faith is. Let me explain, something else came to my mind. Let me just explain it. Occasionally in life, God gives you opportunities, open doors for you to stretch out by faith. It's like shouting for help. Let me get, somebody's mind, the story just came to my mind. Rahab, you know Rahab? And Rahab was a woman of faith. Ah, is that not so? But remember her job before that time. What was the job? Use the proper word. Thank you. When you use harlot now, it looks like a spiritual word in the Bible. Prostitution. But like somebody said, why, how did she become a prostitute? We don't know. Because if you watch TV these days, you will know that there are different kinds of prostitutes. There are some who say, man, this is easy money. There are some who are slaves. There are different types. But here's the point. To everyone, God gives this door of opportunity. Do you want to escape? And God gave her that door also. Do you want to escape? How did she know? I don't know what was going on in her life, but when she heard the story, all the stories around the God of Israel, she was waiting for him. Take my word for it. She was waiting for him. And then when some people arrived, they said, they're Israelites. They said, oh, well, Father, thank you. She was not there. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says the time of my deliverance I shall be ready. She didn't understand all that English. When God just opened the door, he said, are you the people from Israel? Yes. She said, oh, well, thank the Lord. They have come. Please, what must I do to be saved? You will help us. She said, to help you is all. I will help you now. I'll hide here. Enter inside sack. Toss them inside somewhere. Lock the place. She did what all of us would call lying. God. She did what you and I would call what? Lying. Did you see them? Yeah, I did. They came. Yes, they stayed only a few hours. They've gone since. They went in that direction. Was that not a lie? They were right up there, hiding. She pointed them in the wrong direction. Don't worry, for God just forgave the whole thing. The young woman was taking advantage of the arrival of the God of Israel. And her story now became a matter of by faith. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It now became a matter of what? By faith. God gives everybody one opportunity in life. Say, you like your life the way it be? I'm not sure. Okay. It will just open one door of opportunity. You either take it or you leave it. Those who reject it are the ones that now continue in bondage. But the ones who accept it, you know, I'll tell you later. By faith, he took a whole city. By faith, people will be jumping on the poop and talking about you later. They won't know why you were doing it. It was like, either I do this one or I'm dead. Please, I hope you are following me. I hope you are following me. The story I'm telling all of these things for you to know, the stories in the Bible were not written to make you feel inferior. They were written for you to know that you too just love the Lord, the Holy Spirit will enter into you and set you on your feet, and you also will do greater things than those men did. Abraham was not a test. Oh God, please get what, you have to get what I'm saying. The life of Abraham, God was not testing Abraham alone. He was testing what he had done in Abraham. Sacrifice your son. I said, man, Abraham was a man of faith. God was also saying that, I hope I have taught him well. Like if Abraham failed, two people failed. Abraham, number one, and the person who instructed him in faith from the beginning. From the time he was 75. See, he was 100. He was 117 or thereabouts when he finally went and tested him concerning the sacrifice of Isaac. Both people were being tested. What am I going to explain? Don't ever forget. The faith of Abraham was something that God built in him by himself. God taught Abraham faith. I mean, it's just like, I'm a teacher. You give me a student, all right? And he has no other teacher. He can never learn what I did not teach. Agreed, he has to be a student that's willing to learn and able to learn. But having taken that one for granted, every other thing is dependent on what I have to give him. You must understand that. So, I'm trying to explain something to you here. So, Abraham was not just, man, that guy had faith. Listen to me. He too had to go through the school of faith. He had to invest in a business and lose some money. He had to go into partnership with Lot, and Lot's guys would be defrauding him. Another, he had to look for a way to separate from himself and Lot. Somebody had to stake his wife one day, and he was up there all night. It's not funny. Somebody will carry your wife, go. A man more powerful than yourself. In fact, the reason why you allow him to take the wife is that you don't want that. You know the story. So he was there. You think he was there sleeping? Say, thank God they've taken her. Now, lie. He was there all night. In the name of God, this is not fair. This life is just not fair. Why should one man be more powerful than another like this? God said, don't worry, don't worry. They're not going to touch your wife. Some angels went in there. You know, there are different kinds of angels. According to Apostle Benga, they are the ones that use... That's what Apostle Benga said. Not me, not me. So God must have sent some of those ones in there. Scatter the house of Abimelech. Abimelech changed his mind rapidly. Then Abraham understood God, the protector, the defender, the high tower. He started understanding some things about God. God taught him like that for years. At the age of 100, he had a child. So when God now says sacrifice him. And don't forget, I told you all the time, the first person that was sacrificed was not Isaac. It was Ishmael. Ishmael was the first to be sacrificed. It was a testing in faith. Let me see whether he can sacrifice Ishmael. So how did they do the sacrifice of Ishmael? Sarah came and said, drive the bondwoman away and her son. And the Bible says the thing was grievous in Abraham's eyes. And God now said to him, make sure you obey the word that I gave you, in quotes, through your wife. And so he gave up Ishmael as dead. He gave up Ishmael as dead. This was the same Ishmael he had prayed for. I don't have time to go into it. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. It was a specific prayer. And the Bible says that as for Ishmael, God said to him, I have heard thee. Will you let that Ishmael go and let me fulfill that prayer, that answer I gave you that time? He passed that one. That was God training him. And eventually he found out that not only did Ishmael survive, Ishmael flourished. Go and read the scriptures. When he finally died, Ishmael returned and he and Isaac buried Abraham. So that was why when the Nazar said, sacrifice Isaac. It wasn't just one day. Some people think God is very stupid. You know what I mean? Just see one young woman. Just God just say, look, you are going to marry that pastor from the jungle. God knows they do that kind of thing. And one young woman, she just gave her life to God yesterday. One pastor just come from the jungle, say, and this is a paperless. You know what they call paperless? Those kind of girls that their feet have never touched sand. From the time they were young, their parents have ensured they wore slippers all the time. Even inside the room that is rock, they wear flop, what do they call it? Flip-flops, those kind of things. Those kind of people that their father made sure the generator is on so that they won't be hot. One time they were babies, though. Now give a life to Christ one day. Said the Holy Spirit says, come marry a pastor that's going to Congo. It gets some kind of Holy Spirit, they do. God, you carry one paperless through inside the jungle of jungle. A mosquito bite that you go shout. Ah! He said, "What was that?" I said, "I thought it was a snake." He said, "Just a mosquito." The Lord is good. I said, "The Lord is good." No, God gets sense. Amen. Yes, he has sense. He knows how he does it. Are you saying, Pastor Mackie, that I can't? No. I'm not saying God doesn't send such people to such places, but he has to callous their feet first. He won't carry you from where you're walking on rug and with your flip-flops and, you know, those kind of when you enter their bathroom. You know that the tiles inside the bathroom, they go still put cloth, take those slippers at the door. You know, there are people like that walking around. They don't know what life is like. So, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God can't speak like that. I'm just saying that it took him 40 years and more to train Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. He also takes time out to train faith. It's God's responsibility to work with him to build faith into us. That's what I'm going to explain. Like I was saying, if you are still afraid, say, hey, what will happen? Relax. It's not your time. Go back home and go and pray. Keep on getting trained. The time is coming. A time will come that she's the one that will be calling and say, please, can I go to the Congo? What are we doing this place, Seth? Now you're going to preach the fire and brimstone gospel. You're getting what I'm going to explain. It took God 40-something years to build enough faith in Abraham for Abraham to be able to gladly and willingly drop Isaac. It was not only Abraham that was being tested. God's training method was also being tested. I dare to say to you, and we did that then when we were talking about learning from Moses. I remember what I kept on saying, that it is not Moses we are trying to be like. We are looking at the aspect of the life of Jesus Christ, who is the image of whom we are supposed to be, we are looking at that aspect of him that is reflected in the life of Moses. And that's what that whole series, learning from Moses. I'm going to say something here. The same way God built faith in Abraham, he also used that same method. He had to test the method and put that in the life of Jesus in different ways. Because even Jesus learned obedience. Obedience is faith. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. He had to be perfected. He didn't just show up one day and say, yes, I'm the Son of God. Let me save all of you right now. No. He had to be made perfect. We'll read it from the book of Hebrews. He had to be made perfect before he could become the author of eternal salvation. What am I saying all of this in? But I don't know. That was not what I planned to preach. We'll get to what I really plan to preach next time, you know? Let me just sit down there. In fact, I feel the Holy Spirit just wants somebody here, in fact, all of us here to understand that being a great man, a great woman of faith, is not greatness that you had inside yourself. No. No. It is the Holy Spirit working in you. It is God himself training you to that level. It is God himself. He knows how he will turn the paperless girl that we're talking about, turn out to a jungle queen. He knows how he will do it. He knows how he's going to do it. He knows how he's going to move her from one level to the other. So if you're a paperless person, say, my mates are in the jungle. Listen, don't worry. What did I say? You will soon get to your own jungle at the appropriate time. Your mates in the jungle didn't get there because they are bold. If they are really real people of faith, they got there because the Holy Spirit entered into them and set them on their feet. Don't ever forget that. Not all of us go to the jungles. Some people are going to minister in cities. Like I say all the time, Joseph left prison and went to the palace. Is that not so? Moses left palace and went to the wilderness. So different people will minister in different places. Don't look at it. I told you, let me say it again. What do you call it? If Nebuchadnezzar, if he shows up now and builds his own temple, his idols, and he says you should bow, you too, you will not bow. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Me too, I will not bow. Did I hear an amen for me?
Amen.
Not because you are strong, not because I am strong, but because if God says we are not bowing, because we love him, we will not bow. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He was talking about persecution. He said, don't think about what you will say on that day. You'll be brought before trial. He said, don't rehearse it, don't plan it. Just show up there. He said, behold, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. None of them will understand what you are talking about. I will give you a mouth and a wisdom. I heard the story of Jennings Finney's Dake. That's the man who wrote the Dake's Bible. He said the man could quote the whole of the New Testament off head. Some people can't quote John 3:16 complete. Yeah, it's true. Some people can't quote John 3:16 complete. But, they said the man. But Dakes will quote the whole of the New Testament like this. You know what they call whole? The book of the genealogies of, you know, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah begat this, and he will go on like this. And an angel came, he will finish Paul, an apostle. That is like that, word for word. Now, I didn't hear this one myself, but I know this is largely true. But the one which I cannot even say for sure, they say somebody dead him once. And he said there's no problem, that the only thing he's asking for is that there should be a radio coverage, put him in front of an open place, so he can't have any Bible, somebody showing him. They say at the time he was reciting the thing. Then he stopped and said he forgot something. If they want, he will start again. So go and be putting comma and full stop at the correct places. And his wife said something. I'm going somewhere. His wife said that, listen, if you think the man has a good memory, send him to the market. If you think his brain is very sharp, just tell him to go and buy and don't write the list down. I'm going to tell him to buy 5 things. He'll come back with 2.5. That is what he was trying to say is the man has his own grace. That's what she was trying to explain. That he had his own grace. The man hooked the whole New Testament in the head. The Lord is good. Anyway, why I went there is that, listen, God pours grace. Each person has his own grace. Are you getting my point? All right, each person has his own grace. We're talking about the realm of faith also, all right? There's faith as a gift. Great faith is never developed personally by anybody. Great faith is always a gift of God. That's why I wrote in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. What is it that is important? That we all love God and we have little faith. Jesus said that's all you need to do great things. You know that? Faith as what? A mustard seed. So that's all we need. Faith as a mustard seed. What have I said today? Let me say it again. It's about the 10th time I'm saying it. You read the story of Elijah in the Bible, the story of David, Abraham, Rahab, all those people. Those stories were not told to make you feel inferior. They were not even told to make you aspire to great things. No, no. That is important, we get it. Those stories were told to let you know that from where you are right now, if you just walk with God simply, and I started by saying that faith is just a habit. Just walk with God normally, simply. You will do greater things than Elijah did. Those are the ones who were young students. Maybe people did not know, they confused us a bit. We're given the impression that the reason why people like William Marion Brigham, people like that, why they had so, you know, people like Jack Cole, all the men we used to read their stories, you know, that it was because, why they had so much spiritual power flowing in their lives, was because they prayed a lot. And they fasted a lot. And they knew how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, those of us who are aspiring preachers, and they will tell you stories like, before this man mounts the pulpit, 2 hours he does not talk to anybody. Before this one does like this, 4 days he knows the chop. Before this one goes does this, ha! So you know small boys now. 4 days you will not eat because you want to preach for 1 day. You know, you get worried, you know what I'm saying? And of course, when you preach and the preaching is not powerful, you see, it is because you ate. You went and ate. Look at your preaching now, it's watery. Then you see some brethren that time, they will lay hands on people, they will be falling under the power. Ah! Like now, wow. So you go and be looking at those people, say, how did it take? How do they arrange this thing? When I said, look, they are always speaking in tongues. So you'll be going on the road, you'll be depressed. Now after 2 hours, you don't tire. They said they used to pray all night. Okay, no problem. So you come, say, tonight is the night in which we shall pray all night. And some of those brethren used to pray very fantastically. I remember one brother, I used to call him Baba Stivo. When they got out, those of you know Uniben, I was staying in Hall 3. I'll be hearing him pray from Sports Complex. Sports Complex is near the gate. I'm not joking. Baba Stivo is praying in Sports Complex. We are hearing in Hall 3 at night. I'm not kidding. So, you know, some things you just see and you just give up. Instant give up. I remember those days, we have meetings in Sports Complex, you know, prayer meetings and all of that. I still remember this particular day as we were leaving. Maybe we were leaving around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you know, that kind of thing. You see, Baba Stephen remove his towel, drop it, drop his Bible. He's about to start. That is, the small boys are going home. And that's it. From that 11, 12, he's going to be there till 5 a.m. This is part of it I'm telling you. So that's how those... And when they are preaching, powerful, that is, they could move, I mean, move everybody with their... So we small boys now. We just used to give... In fact, at that time, you just give up. Say, there's no how. Because you don't try before. That one, you just read, tonight is the night of praying all night. Just before you know what's happening, you're like, in the name of Jesus.
boy. By 1 o'clock, you could tell the Lord that we'll complete this thing tomorrow, because if I can't even tell him, you are falling asleep. That was the impression we were given. Until we began to study and we're growing. And we realized that it is not so. What did I say?
It's not so.
It's not so. It's not so. I found out that most people that were heavily anointed in the Bible, it was quarrel between them and God. I will send you. You know I can't go now. No, go and check Moses. I will send you. To where? Hey. This talking thing has never been my strong point. To. But you know, years ago, we were trying, but you know, now. God had to be persuading. Okay, I will send a prophet. That's your brother will be your prophet. You are going to be God to him. Hey, this God matter. Now, wow. Is that argument? So, okay, when I get there now, what will I tell them? Who will I say sent me? Argument. You know, at the point in time, God got angry. Then when I met Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, listen, this job is for old people. I'm a small boy. God had to say, shh, stop saying things like that. I found out that those that God heavily anointed in the Bible, go and read it. They were not praying all night. When God said, pray all night, they said, Lord, I need to sleep. I found out that each person has a calling. They gave us the impression that if you pray hard enough, you see into the realm of the spirit. I found that those who prayed so as to see into the realm of the spirit, they saw only evil spirits. Yes? I read enough to understand that those that angels used to come to their house, some of them, the angel had to explain why they came. They were wondering, what are you looking for? Did you miss your way? We never prayed for all of these things. And we found out later that God had a move. This is a matter of fact. Well, one man of God, my wife and I went to visit when he came to Enugu. We went to his hotel room. We stayed with him for over 2 hours. We're just talking, telling us, because he also was there. Told us a lot of things. Put all this together, I found out it was something that God was doing at a time. Because he himself said, by the time he left school, there was a time the whole thing just kind of came to an end. You know, just suddenly ceased. All this one was laying hands on. People are just falling down. He just lay hands on everybody. Everybody looking at him. So, why did he touch my head? He said, remember to just continue what he still does here today. Teaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God faithfully. I look back at the lives of people like me. I said, look, God just said, look, some of those things, I'm not going to let you learn them. Because it will corrupt your understanding of the scriptures. And you will not be able to impart true knowledge to people that I want you to impart the knowledge to. We thought men had great spiritual power because of their own personal strength. They knew how to pray for 48 hours. I was watching this man on TV. His name just escaped me now. Not somebody I quote a lot, but I just watching him on TV when he was preaching. Talking about spiritual power and all of that. Just, he was trying to explain something that is not something that you do by force. He said one day he traveled. After traveling and everything, he was supposed to preach in one church. So while they were doing all the choir singing and everything, he sat in his chair and fell asleep. He slept off. And after a while, he heard him call his name, introducing him. They didn't know he was asleep. He was not meditating. He was asleep. So when they called his name, so he got up. As soon as he got up, everybody on his roof fell down under the power of God. Now listen, he didn't pray for them. He was not even aware. He was asleep. He was saying, he said that he was asleep. He went to preach there. They now called him up like, it's time to welcome Pastor, whatever his name is. And that's it. That no one woke him up. So just picked his things and got up. As soon as he stood up, everybody sitting on his row fell down under the power of God. Everybody. You are getting what I'm not explaining. Young Christians will tell you the kind of spiritual manifestation that passed through their hands. And you knew that these guys didn't do anything. When I read the story of the gentle breeze of Jesus, Matthew told the story of one little girl there that God had used to raise, like, I think, 2 dead people. They died. She laid hands on them. They woke up again from the dead. She was so spiritually immature, she was bragging about it. That man got angry. And God had to use it to show him that she's just a child. That's how children behave. They don't understand anything yet. She was just a child. Look, I was supposed to talk on faith and prayer, but what I've tried to explain today is this. It's literally not by your power. It's literally not by your might. It is by the Spirit of God. I say it one more time before I close. The stories of the Bible were not told. The stories of the giants of faith, they were not told to make you feel small. They were not even told to help you aspire to great things. They were told to let you know that small people with God can do great things. That you don't have to be so strong in faith. Just love God small. Jesus called it mustard seed. And Nebuchadnezzar will blow smoke in your face and you will not be afraid. You will see lion. You will have killed the lion before you realize that it's a lion. That God will convert many of your mistakes, what normally wouldn't fit sensible practice. Like a young boy who a lion, a bear, took just one lamb. What is one lamb and the life of a human being? It doesn't make sense for somebody to say he's running after a lion to collect a lamb back. It does not make sense. I'm telling you again, it was reckless. It was. It was childish. But when the young boy loves God, it becomes a step of faith. I don't know whether you get my point. Nobody ever teaches people that when you see the lion, you run after it. No. But because he loved God, we attend the story today as if the man said, yes, I'm a lion fighter. He didn't say so. He ran after the lion out of anger. He was provoked. He did not know how to control that anger. And he took his sheep, like, give me my thing. Give me my thing. It's your own. You know that kind of childish thing. Give me. It's your own. And lion said, you won't try me. He said, look, I don't want trouble. I don't want my sheep back. And lion said, rah! And David gauged the distance between here and there. He said, enough, I'll run the lion. He said, well, the easy way to handle this is to tackle this guy. And the Holy Spirit entered into him and he killed the lion. Listen, as a businessman, one day you will kill a lion. Yeah. Like Ajay Lotono said, he did not realize that that was improper accounting. I told him, when you are following too much ways of the world, sensible sense, sometimes you just have to learn to trust God. If you trust God, some of the improper accountings you will do is the reason why you make it in life. You hear what I said? And that's what I'm preaching. God working in you, your life will become a story that people will misunderstand it. They say, yes, you were a great man of faith. You say, me. When they say, stay up, if I half of the prayer meetings, I miss them. Why? I went to eat. That you know how undependable and irresponsible, in quotes now, that you have been. Yet, you will succeed. Are you getting my point? Your errors, God will ride on them. They will become stories of triumph later. Mistakes, things you did rashly. They say, who's going to do this business? They say, yeah, me. By the time your parents heard, by the time your friends heard, by the time your pastor heard, they knew that you had made a terrible mistake. By the time they called you to correct you, you had then made a billion naira. I don't know whether I get my point. When everybody that knew you and loved you and had sense heard, they knew you were done. So they called you to warn you. By that time, the thing had borne fruit. I said, what are people talking about? Then one day somebody would write a book. 17 Habits of Highly Effective, Spiritual, Fruitful, and Dominating, and Fruit, what is it, Conquering the Earth People. They would start writing your life mistakes as if they were deliberate. The Lord is good. I don't want to sound critical. There's one book I saw. One man analyzing some of the life. You know, you heard the stories of the life of David. When you are going to see Pharaoh, you dress for the way Pharaoh is. When you are going here, and they analyze from the life of Joseph. As if somebody told Joseph,
is added. Joseph, most of those steps were taken in confusion. If they throw inside a pit, do you know what you do? You fall inside. Is anything spiritual about you go into a pit? They say Pharaoh is calling you. The man who said Pharaoh is calling you is the one that brought the cloth you wore. He's the one that shaved you. Are you getting my point? The one that told you, when Pharaoh is talking, you stand like this. Now I say, yes, tomorrow we are going to save Pharaoh. Hallelujah. So when we are going to save Pharaoh, we'll shave ahead of time. Many people have shaved. They are still in jail. Do you get what I'm saying? They will write the story of your life one day. And when you read it, you say you will have to laugh. See? She was very strategic in her planning. So you say, which strategy? They now show, that was the one that almost died while I was doing it. I only did it because I had no choice. And they are saying that you were strategic. See, she knew how to locate the proper place to put that business so that the clients would come from four angles. They won't know that you looked for a house for 2 years. Nobody rented it to you. Finally, you saw one that somebody parked out of and allowed you to be paying small over 6 months. And that was why you entered into the place. But because from there, God commanded the blessing. You get my point? You now go and analyze it. You see that building? He has a double lane road going this way. There's 175 degrees to this corner. And then around it, there's a swamp at the back. You won't know when you moved in there. Ross, everybody rejected that place. That is what is called the glory of God. Let me summarize it. Or let me end it. One sentence. You too will do great things.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will tabernacle inside you and convert all your errors into stories of success.
Amen.
Your ignorance will appear later for subsequent generations as if they were deliberate plans made towards success.
Amen.
That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The stories of the great men, the women of the Bible, they were not written to make you feel inferior or to even make you aspire to greatness. They were written to let you know that small people with God, they can do great things. I hope you understood that today. I hope you understood that. Let's just bow down here and just give a lot of thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for your sweet word, your beautiful word that has come forth. Say, Lord, we give you the glory because you are good. Let's just rise to our feet. Let's just take a few confessions and then we're out of here. Just for 1 minute. Everybody, just say after me, say, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my deliverer and is my
security. Say, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
There is no one who I will fear.
Say, the Lord is the defense of my life.
I shall not be afraid of anyone.
Say, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh,
they stumbled and they fell.
Say, though a host encamps around me, that is an army, though an army encamps around me,
my heart will not fear.
Though wars arise against me,
in spite of this, I shall be confident.
Even though it's a war of financial adversity,
in spite of it, I shall be confident.
Even though there are wars of envies and jealousies,
in spite of everything, I shall be confident.
Because the Lord is with me. Say,
because the Lord is with me.
Say, the Lord will conceal me in the rock when there is trouble.
He will hide me in his sanctuary.
Say, I will hold my head high above my enemies.
I will never give up.
I will always have hope.
Knowing that the Lord is on my side.
Say this like you believe it.
I will constantly rejoice.
I will be happy at all times.
I will constantly have hope.
I will never be cast down.
Because the Lord is with me.
Because the Lord is with me.
Say, I declare of the Lord.
He alone is my refuge.
My place of safety.
He is my God.
And in him I trust.
He will rescue me from every trap.
He will rescue me from every trap.
and protect me from every deadly disease.
And protect me from every deadly disease.
He will shield me with his wings.
He will shield me with his wings.
He will shelter me with his feathers.
He will shelter me with his feathers.
His faithful promises are my armor and protection.
His faithful promises are my armor and protection.
I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night.
I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night.
Nor fear the dangers of the day. Nor will I dread the epidemic that stalks in darkness. Said,
though a thousand falls at my side,
and 10,000 are dying around me,
these evils will not touch me.
Say, I have made the Lord my refuge.
I have made the Most High my shelter.
No evil will conquer me.
No plague will come near my dwelling place.
Because he orders his angels to protect me.
They keep me wherever I go.
They will keep me with care.
And I will not be injured.
Say, the Lord will rescue me because I love him.
He will protect me
because I trust in his name.
Say this like you believe it.
He will rescue me and honor me.
He will satisfy me with long life.
And give me his deliverance,
and healing,
and prosperity.
Say,
Father, we thank you. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just worship him. Thank him from the bottom of your heart, because your security is in him, and in him alone.